Appreciate so much you letting me come and preach the gospel. I want you to turn to Matthew, the 25th chapter. I'm focusing this morning and looking at the kingdom and trying to get people to think about the sovereign rule of God in the lives and the hearts of people. And in this 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is looking at three pictures of what will happen at the end of time and what people do really with responsibility in the kingdom of God. You remember in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus promised to the disciples they had come to Caesarea Philippi, the disciples were discouraged. They could sense that things were going wrong. And Jesus tells them he's going to be crucified, and so they are sensing that things don't seem to be going very well. And so Jesus tells them, do not worry, don't be troubled, because I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it.
Amen.
And so we don't have to be worried today, good people. Don't ever worry about the church. Let me tell you, the church is going to do just fine. Now, some people are going to leave it. Some people are going to try to change it. But let me tell you, the church will always be around and will always stand. Because Jesus said, he's the one who's going to build it. Nobody can stop him. He will build, when he said that, future tense, look at the Acts, the second chapter. He will build his church. And the gates of hell, the gates were of cities where people determined counsel and what they would do. And so this seems to say that Satan is sitting in his city gates trying to find some way to defeat us, some way to stop us. But let me tell you, his counsel is not going to prevail. And Jesus told the disciples that what he would do, he said to Peter, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So here's a picture of Peter being told, Jesus said, I'm going to establish my church, build my church, and I'm going to give you the keys to this kingdom. And I like to tell people, I was over in Illinois years ago, and there was an article in the newspaper where a lady had gone into the Walmart and bought her some groceries, and she came out and she went to her car and saw these two men sitting in her car. And she said, you men are in my car. And they said, no, ma'am, you're mistaken. She said, listen, I know my car. She said, I've got a gun in my purse. If you don't get out of my car, I'm going to get my gun out. And so these men jumped out, and they ran into Walmart, and they called the police. And so this woman went around the trunk to open the trunk up, put her groceries in, and the key wouldn't open the trunk. And so she said, what in the world? And she got to look at the car. She said, wait a minute here. I'd have a dog in the back window. And so she looked, my car's wanting to roll over. So she went over to the next road, opened the trunk up, put her groceries in. And so when she went to go out, the police had blocked the exit to the Walmart, and they were stopping everybody and talking to them. She pulled up to tell the policeman that she'd made a terrible mistake. And when she rolled the windows down, the policeman said, sir. And she said, ma'am, would you get out of the way? There's a woman in this parking lot trying to hijack cars. But you know what? She learned a great lesson that day. She went by the way things looked to her. And she failed to realize the only way to determine the real way to see that what is the real thing is to take the keys to it. And so the keys to this great kingdom are right here in your hand.
Amen.
And they can open the door for you and you can see what's to be. But if you try to get in some other operation and do something some other way than what these keys say, let me tell you, you're in the wrong car. And you better make up your mind to get out and get in the right place. And so the keys to this kingdom and the keys of the Lord's church is that we do what this book says. Now, when you turn to Matthew 25, you see Jesus here is beginning to make two illustrations and one picture of what's going to happen at the end of time. And he's helping us to see that what we need to understand in Matthew 25, verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were wise took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, and while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now I want you to see here, here's a picture, a common picture. I've seen this in the third world many times. When their wedding's going to take place, they're usually young women are waiting, and these young women will go out and they will invite people to come, so they're waiting for the bridegroom to come, so all these orders will come together so they can go out and do their job. And so they wait until that occasion comes, and then no matter what time the organization's plan to have that to come, sometimes they don't know, so oftentimes the bridegroom will come in on a horse or something from somewhere else, and they're not sure how far or when he will get there in those occasions, so they've got to be ready. A lot of delays. In the third world, people don't have watches. You know, I learned about being on the Lord's Day when Paul said, when you come together, take the Lord's Supper, tarry one for another. when you meet in a lot of countries, people don't know. You can't say, well, I ate the Lord's Supper at 9 o'clock, because nobody knows when 9 o'clock is. An old boy takes an old piece of metal and beats on a car rim in a tree, or they start singing, the singing gets louder, people start coming. They don't know exactly when to get started. Well, here's a picture of people who don't have wristwatches. And so this occasion was these women, these virgins, those that were all virgins, they all had pure character. They all had the same desire. They wanted to see the bridegroom. They wanted to be involved in the wedding. And so everything about them seemed to be exactly, if you were to look at them, everything seemed to be exactly the same. But only one thing was different. Five of them were foolish, and five of them were wise. Now, what does that mean, that they were foolish and wise? It was because five of them realized, we don't know when this is going to happen. So we better plan on, there might be, in most parts of the world, a delay. And so I've sat sometime and sang for 2 hours waiting for somebody to show up. They were waiting to come, and because an ox cart had turned over and they couldn't get there, or rain in a ditch and they couldn't get across, they had to wait a while. And so all sort of things can happen. But here's a picture of thinking about the Lord coming and being prepared and making sure you have what I call the midnight oil. Make sure you know lamps were put in oil, put in a lamp so it could provide light, it could provide influence. Make sure you're doing what you can so your influence in this world can go all the way to the end of your time here, whether the Lord comes or whether you die before that time comes. Now think about the fact of not knowing when this was going to happen. They didn't know when it was going to happen. You know, we have in our history a few memorials and reminders of not of hearing something's going to happen, but not believing it's going to happen. You know, Pearl Harbor, we know now that they're probably, we had intercepted some messages, and we maybe had a 24 to 48 hour window where we knew they were going to come, but we thought, no, this just doesn't, we misunderstood the message and we've made a mistake, this just couldn't happen. So we didn't sound out a warning, we didn't get ready, because we just couldn't believe, it seemed impossible. If I were to say that the Lord could come in 5 minutes, you say, oh no, that's, well, you don't know that. He could wait 5,000 years. We don't have any idea. But I'll tell you what we better do. We better live every day like we're ready, and like our lamp is oil, and we've got our lamp trimmed and ready, and we're ready when He comes to turn the light on and have influence all the way to the day the Lord comes.
Amen.
And so, you know, you can see what happened in the 2001, September the 11th, when we now know that we probably had a 24 to 48 hour window that some message had been picked up that somebody was going to fly some planes into a building, but we didn't believe it. It seemed so unimaginable. It just couldn't have happened, you see. And so we didn't take provisions to make ready, do what should be done. You'd be sitting there bending, actually, the Lord could come before I get through preaching this sermon. You better get up in the middle of it and do something, because He could come. He said, oh, no, preacher, it just doesn't seem like He could come. That's exactly what Jesus is trying to tell us. We've got to understand every moment you're living. My wife and I were driving home from the country one time. We'd just become Christians, and we knew that the Lord could come at any time. And while we were driving home late at night, we were coming up this rise out of the valley, and we began to see, it was 11 o'clock at night, the sky began to get light and brighter as we were coming up that rise. And I can remember, I was saying, oh, this, I know the sun's not coming up. The Lord, this is the Lord coming. So I was praying, I was going on up the hill, and I just couldn't wait to see what was going to bust out of the sky the next moment. And my wife, she was not saying a thing, we're just looking, getting brighter and brighter. And when we came up over the rise, and we saw this big hay barn on fire, we went, oh, I said, I thought the Lord was coming. I said, I did too. But I'm going to tell you something. That's the way to always think. What if you got up every morning and said, the Lord could come today? You know what you would do that day? You'd make that day one of the best days of your life.
Amen.
You would be ready and thinking. You'd be thinking about people you love and care about. You'd be trying to influence people to do what was right. If we could see that Jesus is trying to tell us, I know we're sitting in this day, well, I didn't get up this morning and think the Lord could come today. You made a mistake. Mm-hmm. You need to get up every morning and think the Lord could come today. Now I better be busy today. And I better have my oil, my lamp, and be ready so when He comes, I won't have to go attend to something I should have attended to. I was in India several years ago, and we were riding along in this car, and you know, those cars are in pretty rough shape. It's a 1952 Fiat. And so what happened was, while riding along, the fuse blew, And so I got out, and I'm a mechanic, and so I said, well, we got a blown fuse, we got a fuse. They said, no. I said, anybody have any chewing gum? They said, yeah. I said, chew that gum, give me that aluminum foil. I took the aluminum foil, wrapped it on the fuse, and stuck it back in there. I said, now don't y'all do this all the time, because it could burn your car up. But so we got back in the car, and the battery run dead, so we pushed the car and got it jump started, pushed and got it started, and we all jumped in, and we rode about another 5 miles and ran out of gas. You see, we had everything we needed, but what kept the thing going? You see, you can be doing a lot of things and fail to have what you need, fail to tend to what you should be tending to. Maybe you never obeyed the gospel. It could be this is the last time you'll ever hear a call for you to come and become part of this kingdom. And so we need to be thinking like that. Make sure whatever we need to tend to, maybe you've got some fault with somebody here in the building and you've never corrected that, you've done something wrong, you need to make that right, you're mad at somebody here. You think, well, I'll take care of it later. You may not get opportunity to take care of it later. Mm-hmm. And so here's a picture of Jesus warning us that he's coming again. And what we've got to do is we've got to make everything ready. And notice what we see here is these virgins had everything the same except for the wisdom and the foolishness of being, well, some of them were ready, some were. Notice they all slept. Now what does that say? When you know when you can go to bed and sleep, when you've got everything done, have you ever thought about that? If I've got something I've got to do, well, for example, on Friday night, I'm going to drive home when the meeting's over. I do that everywhere I go. I don't care if I'm driving from Vermont. I drive all the way home. I get up and I can't sleep till I get home. And that's just the way I am about my life. And if I've got something I've got to do and I know I should do it, I can't go to bed. It just bothers me till I get it done. Here's a picture of people sleeping. Five of them were sleeping with confidence. They said, we're ready. And so they were sleeping in confidence. And so it wasn't wrong to sleep, but five of them were not wise. Five of them had not made all the preparation. Five of them were not ready. And so they were sleeping they had a misguided confidence. They thought everything was okay. So I want to say to you, look at this parable. Think about that. You could be sitting there thinking, well, I know there's something I'll do, but I haven't done it yet. You better think about that. And so Jesus shows us when they were sleeping, and what that says is five of these women had taken responsibility with what they had and were ready. Five of them had not taken responsibility for what they should have done, and there were some things resting that should have been done. Now listen to what's said in verse 6. And at midnight there was a cry made, and behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now notice something. These women, they thought that, you know, there's something, if something's left over, something left undone, when the Lord comes, first of all, we'll take care of it when the Lord comes. No, we're going to find out that's too late. You'll miss the old bus if you do that. And they also thought that, well, what I need to do, somebody else, I can get it from somebody else. Mm-hmm. I didn't quite do what I should have done, but I'll borrow off you, see? And I'll borrow some off you, and I'll get some off you, and I'll borrow from somebody. No, I'm going to tell you, if you haven't done yourself what you need to do, let me tell you, you're not going to be able to say, well, Lord, I went to church with those people. They were my friends. Can't you let me go in with them? I ate dinner with them. I went around and did things with them. And the Lord's going to say, no. You should have taken care of what you need to tend to for yourself. Nobody can do that for you. Your mom and dad can't do it. Your children can't do it for you. Somebody who loves you can't do it for you. You've got to tend to it yourself. And so now notice, after we find them wanting to borrow this oil from others, verse 8 says, and the foolish said unto the wise, verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, not so, least there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that buy and sell. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were all, they that were ready went in into the marriage, and the door was shut. And notice something. These ones that weren't ready thought, well, I'll tend to it at the end. But no, they couldn't do that. The Lord said, have you ever thought about it in the days when the flood took place? And when Noah was building the ark and people making fun of Noah, laughing at him and scoffing, he was preaching. He was a preacher of righteousness in those days, and people kept scoffing him. And one day when the flood began to come and Noah gathered all the animals together, you know who shut the door on that occasion? Matthew 24. The Bible says the Lord shut the door. Amen. And let me tell you, when the door shut, that's the last bus going, old buddy. That's the last bus. You missed the last bus. You waited too long. You can put things off and just keep waiting. I tell folks, when you're young, the Lord said to you, oh, don't you worry. You can get serious about this later on. You can become more committed to God. You can think about God more. When you get older, well, let me tell you, you better think while you're young. What should I do? Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Get serious now. Get excited now. Become committed now, you see. But you know what? While you're young, the devil says you got plenty of time. But you know what he says to old folks? Oh, you did it. You fooled around too long, and now you just messed it up. I tell about in Madison, I was studying with an older fellow and his wife. I think he was 86 or 87. She was 85. And I stayed with them, and they obeyed the gospel. And I said, when I was up here preaching, they just stood up while I was preaching. And I said, well, Mr. Potter, can I help you? He said, yeah, if you hush up, we'll obey the gospel. So I just stopped preaching and baptized him. But then I went down the street from him, and I met this man, Mr. Potter. And he was 80 years old. And I said, Mr. Potter, would you like to say, yeah, I'd like to talk about the Bible. I don't know much about it. I got talked to him. I said, you know Mr. Potter? He said, you mean old man Potter? Mr. Potter was about 6-8 years older than him. But when Mr. Hay came, see, he moved real slow. He came and sat on the very back at the building when he came that first Sunday. We were singing Just As I Am. And I'm glad it had five verses, because Mr. Hay was coming real slow, you know. And he finally got up there. But I'm going to tell you, the old devil say you waited too long. Let me tell you, you can never wait too long. If you're still living, there's opportunity for you right now to do. If something needs to be done, don't think, oh, I've just gone too long. No, you haven't. There's time for you to do something right now.
Amen.
And so these verses help us to see that when the door was shut, that was the end of it. Not until then, but it was, you wait till the door shut, it's going to be too late, don't you see? And notice he says then in verse 11, afterward came also other virgins saying, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Now you remember that statement in Matthew 7, in verse 24, those said, Lord, we prophesied in your name, did all these wonderful, did all these good things in your name. And the Lord said, depart from me, I never knew you. You know what that means? The Lord never approved of them. Now, here were people, and they thought they were doing okay, thought they were ready. But really, the Lord said, let me tell you, I didn't approve of what you were doing. So what we've got to see when the Lord comes again, don't think you're going to say, Lord, I'm begging you, let me come in now. If you don't find the Lord's approval today, and you don't do what the Lord says today, don't think at the end that you're going to say, well, now, Lord, come on, now let's work this out. No, my friend, you should work it out today. Today's the window. Today's the opportunity. Here were people who had responsibility in the kingdom, and they were sleeping with the others. And they waited till the end. And when the last bus came, they thought, we'll take care of it. You're not going to take care of it then. You better take care of what needs to be tended to today. You better get serious about this kingdom today. You better seek this kingdom first today. You better be the kind of person that's doing everything you can to strengthen, to build this church up, to make this kingdom what it ought to be. Here's a picture that Jesus painted for us. But now notice finally Jesus says in verse 13 to these people, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. So we don't know when the Lord's coming. I've told this story many times about my wife. We lived in Louisville, Kentucky. And when we decided we were going to have children, we've been married 5 years, and so our first child was to be born. And so I told my wife, I said, listen, let's make sure we get to the hospital on time, because I don't know why. She said, well, I'll tell you one thing, I'm not going to the hospital on a false alarm. I don't want to go to the hospital and be told to go back home. I said, okay, whatever you say. So anyway, I was at work one day, and I got a call, and they told me, your wife's ready to go. So I went home, and I rushed quick as I could get. I hate to say it, I didn't obey all the laws getting to the house right quick. And I got her in the car. And she said, now listen, she said, I want to make sure this is it. So if I tell you to go back, you can go back. I said, okay. We had to drive across the whole city of Louisville to get to the hospital. And so I was driving across there, but I was driving. She said, wait a minute, slow down. And no. She said, oh, it stopped. This is a false alarm. Let's go back to the house. I said, are you sure? She said, yeah, it's over. It just quit. So I said, okay. So I turned and started going back toward the house, you know. Well, I drove that away for a little while. All of a sudden, come on, turn, let's go. So I started going back towards the hospital again. We turned and went backward 3 times because my wife didn't want to get there too early. But I'm going to tell you what, you know, in 1 Thessalonians, The writer said, it's like when a woman having a child, the Lord's going to come. When a woman starts saying it's time, oh, buddy, you better get to the hospital. Because you know one thing, I don't know when it's coming, but I know a baby's going to be born. It's going to happen. All the indications are here. And so when I got her there, I wasn't about to let her tell me she's going back to the house. But I want you to see when the Lord comes again, and when all these things he's told us about are happening, he's saying, let me give you a warning. You don't know when it's going to happen. And so what you had better do is you had better be wise. If there's something left undone, if there's some question in your mind, something you're thinking about, you know, maybe I need to tend to this, maybe I need to talk to somebody about this, you better talk to somebody about it. You better make sure, my friend, that when the time comes, you're ready. And I'm going to tell you, when that's going to happen, we're going to learn. I like to tell this story about when Reagan was inaugurated. You all remember the night he was inaugurated, the airplane landed there in Washington, D.C., slid off the runway and went down in the Potomac River, and people were getting out of that airplane and swimming in an icy, chill water, trying to save their lives, and a helicopter was hovered over, and the news people were watching, and they dropped a cable down to try to get people to get on that cable. And the wind was blowing so strong from the helicopter and from the icy winds there in Washington that nobody could catch the cable. One old boy must have been in good shape. He would swim out there and get a hold of that cable. He went out and got a hold of it, and the camera zoomed in on him. He swam over, and he hooked that cable on an older lady. And he lifted that lady up and got her to the helicopter. They dropped it down again. The old boy was still, he swam over again. He got it again. This time he took it over and hooked it onto a young lady. And they took that young lady up and they took her in the helicopter. They dropped it down again. This time he hooked it on an older gentleman and they took him up. And then finally the camera zoomed in on this old boy, and finally you saw him just start freezing, and he sunk down and he went down out of sight because hypothermia got the best of him. And people on the news channel were saying, what in the world kind of nut would do what he did? That boy didn't have any sense at all. Why did he keep doing that? And somebody came back and said, I know why he did that. And they said, why would somebody do that? And they said, because he loved the life of somebody else more than he loved his own life. Can you see what in the world Jesus is trying to tell us? He loves your life more than he loved his own. And this morning, it might be there's something you need to tend to. Something you've left undone. Something you're concerned about. Let me tell you. We don't know when he's coming. We're not going to be able to make correction when he comes. And we're not going to be able to borrow off somebody else. And we might put out all the appearance that we're like all the rest of us. Just kind of taking it easy because we've got it in order. If you've got it in order, you can take your nap. You're okay. If you've got it in order, go away and take sleep. But if you're not in order, you better not go to sleep. You better listen to the warning of Jesus. And I know you're saying, well, preacher, that's a long, you just don't know when, you're right. And I don't know and you don't know. But he could come before we get out of this building. So you think about that. If there's something you need to do that's amiss, something that's left undone, why don't you tend to it right now? While we stand and sing the song.